Maybe you can stand again, I don't know. No. No. I haven't said it yet, but Happy New Year, church. Usually I'm in the side room, so you don't get to hear me say it. So happy New Year to you. It's a real privilege to be bringing the Word of God to you this morning. I was kind of trying to explain it to a couple of people saying, hey, you're preaching this morning? How did that happen? I said, well, you never really want to preach when someone's sick, but it's still a privilege to be able to bring the Word of God either way. So I'm excited for this morning. I'm excited for the message. Even though it wasn't planned, I'm excited about the message that God's given us. And for me personally, through the study of this as well. It's kind of funny because when you get the first Sunday of a new year, it's really, really tempting to just be like, New Year's resolutions, let's hammer that. Right? New year, new me, same God. We can find these like cool little cliquey titles that will get people intrigued, right? But then I was kind of like, that, you know, it's just a catchy title. I want the message to be good. I don't want it to be the same old the sermon that gets said every single year. So my prayer throughout this, as Pastor Josh said in the video, on Wednesday he called and said, start to prepare a message. And then on Friday he was like, you're actually preaching. So it was one of those, okay, preparation's taking a little bit more of a turn now. I've got to actually dive in here. And my prayer throughout this whole time was obviously for Pastor Josh's safety, but for God to give a clear message about what to teach as well, for something that we could cling to for this whole year. And with that, kind of, my prayer was to almost get my words out of the way. You know, let God stand firm so that you guys can actually hear from him instead of mine. So that's what I'm going to be kind of trying to do this morning. And that's kind of, Elder Don's already prayed as well about the message, about the kind of what God's going to bring. But anything that's being brought from the Bible and it being truly taught from the Bible is God's word and it's truth and it's something that can be applied. So that's the prayer for this morning, the prayer for this message. So I'm gonna jump in here, but I'm just gonna pray very quickly. God, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for your word that we can trust. God, help us to apply your truth to our life today. As we walk to the church, God, let us not leave the same. Let us not leave the same people. Help us to be changed by you, by your words, by your spirit, Lord. Help your truth set us free a little bit more, I pray. Amen. Now, I don't know about you guys, I am a huge fan of technology. Love technology. My wife rolls her eyes every single time Apple goes, hey, we're releasing the new iPhone. And she's like, oh, brother, it's coming out again. He's going to want it. And sure enough, I'm looking at her going, did you see that? Did you see you got another camera on the back? Now there's 20. You know, I've got to have it. And she's going, why do you need it? Why do you need it? I'm like, oh, technology. She knows I want them. You know, I want the new thing. I want a nice, I like it. Technology can be really helpful though, right? It's expensive. It happens often. Updates always happen. But technology can be helpful as well. On my phone, I have alarms that helped me wake up this morning. Praise God. I have alerts to help me remember to pray. Pray for specific things. Someone messages me and say, hey, I've got a hospital appointment at this time. I'll say, well, guess what? In the morning, up until that point, I'll be praying for you. And I'll put an alert on my phone. This is what's going to happen throughout that day. I'm praying for you. I've got things in my calendar that pop up. Hey, Liverpool are playing this team today. You should watch that. Oh, I've got to remember that. It's a good reminder. Best team in England, by the way. Just saying. No. But technology is a great thing and helps us be reminded of what's going on in our lives. My watch even vibrates when I forget to breathe when I'm too anxious. It's like, hey, did you remember to breathe yet? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I should probably do that. It happens. Technology helps me breathe. There are a lot of different tools and a lot of different technologies available nowadays to remind us of what we can do and the things we do in life. Why is that? It's because we're forgetful. It's because there's a lot of stuff going on, right? We kind of push priorities out of the way, and we can reshuffle. Every single day, I'm reshuffling priorities, and I always forget something. We're forgetful people. We're active people. Alexa, remind me to pick up the kids from school tomorrow, right? Hey Google, remind me to preheat the oven at 5 o'clock. Hey Siri, remind me to join the prayer meeting on Saturday night. Right? It's so easy for us to set reminders for ourselves in our day-to-day lives, yet we are quick to forget the faithfulness of our Creator, Father. Alexa, remind me to recount the character of God and His faithfulness over the course of my life. I've never said that. Never said that. Hey Google, remind me of what Jesus saved me from. Right? Hey Siri, remind me of how far Jesus went just so that I could know Him and be near to Him. Kind of think about that for a second. But seriously, how easy is it to forget the faithfulness of God, especially when things get hard? When things are tough, life gets crazy, or we find ourselves in a global pandemic. It's kind of easy to forget those things. Elder Don's already read the verses prior to our main text today. So I'm not going to ask you to stand again, but I'm going to read through 14 to 24. The reason why I got Elder Don to read it a little bit previous was there's a repetition that happens, and I love it, and it shouldn't be ignored. So I'm just going to read these verses now, and we can dive into the teaching. So Joshua 4:14, on that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come up out of the Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, come ye up out of Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come out of the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto the dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned unto their place and flowed over all his banks as they did before. And the people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. Now these 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. We're going to go through this a couple of verses at a time. Just to get a little bit deeper here. But this is an incredible section of scripture of God's promises coming true, of what he's done for the Israelites, the repeating of the river drying up. It's an incredible moment that we can see and read here. And there's something to be said about remembering. Remember, remember, remember. So we're looking at the memory stones today. I think it might, yeah, there we go. Joshua. So on 14, it says, on that day, the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. That word magnified. And we can see in Joshua 3:7 that the Lord makes this promise to Joshua. It says, the Lord said unto Joshua, this day I will begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. This is all about the Lord and what he is capable of doing through Joshua. This is not about Joshua. Honored, esteemed him, put confidence in him, respect for him as they had in Moses. Magnified to build him up. Put him in a place where people would see and say, God is with him. Just like God was with Moses. And what an incredible, incredible comparison. Just like Moses. No Moses, right? He did quite a lot of cool things. God was with him the same. Joshua, I'll be with you as well. Exodus 14:31 says, and Israel saw that the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Israel witnessed what was happening by the hand of God. They were saved by God through Moses, right? He was the one that led them out. They feared the Lord and believed in the Lord and his servant Moses. And then we go to Joshua 1:5. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. There is a lot of repetition here. Like Moses, I'm with you. Remember, like when I was with Moses for all those trials and all those times, I'm also going to be with you. Everyone remembers Moses. Same God, now with you, right? Everyone get that? It's an amazing promise. Such an amazing promise. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee because I am with you. Wow. But don't miss this. This isn't about Joshua. I've already said this. It's not about Joshua at all. God had a plan and it involved him. Fantastic. But it is all about God. God magnified. Joshua did not magnify himself. Joshua didn't go over and say, hey, I'm now like Moses, right? God said, hey, this is how it's going to happen. It wasn't about Joshua. God chose him and magnified him. Why? To cement Joshua's leadership, right? Moses had passed, he'd gone, and Joshua was the guy now. Well, how do you get someone to follow a new leader if you don't truly believe in him? Well, God magnified him. God lifted him up, made him bigger, you know, enhanced him so that people would see his leadership was cemented by God. To show the people that Joshua was the right leader for the job, and that in the same way the Lord was with Moses, he was going to be with Joshua too. What a promise. Incredible. Jump to verses 15 to 17 here. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come up out of Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, come ye up out of Jordan. Obedience. We see here that Joshua is an obedient man of God. He listens. Hey, God's with me, just like he was with Moses. And God's asked me to do this, so guess what? I'm going to do it. God's asked me to ask you guys to do this thing, so I'm now going to do it. There's something to be said about that. Because actually, you get put into a position of power. That could go to your head, right? Hey, I'm the leader now. I'm the big guy. You got to listen to me, and I've got God behind me as well. I could get real cocky real fast, right? I could get, you know, arrogance, head could grow 10 times real fast. But actually, Joshua doesn't do that. Joshua doesn't kind of flex his position over these people. In fact, he turns around and says, you've asked me to do this? I'm going to do it. Obedience. Let's think for a minute what this would have been like for Joshua. Leader before him was Moses. I'm a youth pastor, and I have other pastors over me, and I'm so thankful for that. But when I read this account of scripture, I have empathy for Joshua, right? Moses was the last guy. Moses! How do I match up to that, right? That's crazy. Me? How did I get here? How do I have to be the next guy? Can someone else step in? No one else? Oh, that's a big comparison. I'm not really ready. This wasn't the plan. I was meant to be mentored for the next 10 years. I was going to be an associate pastor for a while, and then I can step into that position. Moses, I'm not ready yet. Don't go yet. God, don't take him away yet. Who knows? Maybe he was thinking that, or maybe he was super confident. But as I said, that's my version of this is empathy, because I don't think he was thinking that way. I always kind of like to ask Pastor Josh about Pastor Tom. Because I never got a chance to meet him. Never had the privilege of meeting him here on earth. So excited to meet him in heaven. Heard a lot of good things, right? And what a joy it is to hear his messages, like truth falling in the streets. Elder Don taught that a couple of months back. And it's a privilege to hear the message being passed down from other people. It's a privilege to hear how people acted, how they led, how they formed a church by God's guidance, right? But when I think about Moses and Joshua, I have to think about Pastor Tom and Pastor Josh, right? I'm not saying they're the same. I'm not saying that Pastor Tom was Moses. I'm not saying that Pastor Josh is Joshua, but technically names. But think about the loss, right? The grief, the sadness. Again, I wasn't here. I can't speak into it fully. But knowing how highly Pastor Tom was looked to, how respected he was, how Pastor Josh speaks about him, how Jan, Sister Jan speaks about him. It's a good thing to be able to hear these things, to listen to the messages, to know what the person was. But why did, you have to ask the question, why did it happen? You know, the loss of a mentor, of a pastor, of a leader of a church, a teacher, a friend, a father-in-law, and so much more, right? It's not just one role that you lose out on. And this side of heaven, we don't have the answers to why. Why did this happen? And why did God choose to take Pastor Tom at that time? But I'm thankful we'll be reunited with him in heaven. And more importantly, with Jesus, right? His sudden departure for heaven thrust a younger Joshua Tucker into the position of lead pastor at Spokane Baptist Church. Big shoes to fill. But that wasn't the plan. As Pastor Josh always says, when he stands up and he prays right at the start, he always says, I don't feel like I'm the right guy for the job. I don't feel like I'm ready. I don't feel like I'm the guy. So when I read this passage, when I read this scripture, I was like, there is a lot of, you know, things overlapping here. But just like Moses and Joshua, we at SBC are so thankful for the first messenger God chose in Pastor Tom. We praise the Lord for Pastor Tom and Jan Asbury, and remember the way in which God used him and their ministry to spread the gospel, right? I use the Pastor Tom room for teen church on Sundays. And Catalyst, the Bible study on Wednesday nights. And I love getting to tell our boys why the room is named after who it is. Again, I don't have the whole story, but I can tell them the messages that I've been given, right? And I can't wait to meet him. Can't wait. And like Moses and Joshua, thankful for the second messenger God has raised up and his obedience to the call of God, even when it was really hard. I stand in awe of a faithful God and good news that never changes and never gets old, regardless of who's in charge. They had Moses, and we had Pastor Tom Asbury. They had Joshua, son of Nun, and we have Pastor Joshua Tucker. We are blessed. Aren't you grateful this morning for the way in which the gospel goes forward? We need to remember what God has done. We need to. So Joshua knew Moses. He learned from him. He followed him. He trusted him through the Exodus, through the desert. He was there. And with that, he also knew the people that followed Moses as well. He knew his fellow Israelites and the struggles and the stubbornness and the difficult role that Moses had to of trying to lead these people. It was a difficult role, but it was a privileged one. Such is the role of pastors and shepherds of any of God's flocks. It's not always easy, but it is a privilege to serve the Lord. That's my next point here. It's a privilege to serve the Lord. Whatever facet it is that we serve the Lord in, whether it is serving in a church, whether it is just spreading the word, whether it is teaching, whether it is growing young people, whatever it is a privilege to serve the Lord. Verse 18, and it came to pass when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto the dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned unto their place and flowed over his banks as they did before. The fulfillment of God's promise. He said it would happen. So it did. Praise God. Praise God that he is trustworthy, that he is consistent. I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful for that. As the priests were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, this gold-plated wooden chest containing the two stone tablets of the Ten Commandments, in Exodus we can read that this Ark was built 2.5 cubits in length, 1.5 in breadth, and 1.5 in height, which is approximately 52 by 31 by 31 inches. Okay, our measurements now. But it's really important we think about this, what they're carrying, the significance of what they're carrying, what their job is, right? Some researchers have estimated the weight of the Ark to be around 275 pounds to 325 pounds. I don't want to put an exact number on that, but it's about 8 to 10 different researchers that I kind of pulled from, and the average was about that weight that they were spanning from. It's kind of heavy, right? Now think about how heavy this would be walking through a river, carrying this gold-plated chest. Think about having to work your way through the River Jordan with that. No thanks. I don't want to do that. It's going to be heavy, right? But God said this would happen. That the river would dry, it would dry up, and there would be safe passage for them. And it happened. But God said, so it happened. I'm so thankful for that. Again, it's just another promise that comes true. God said it would happen. By the way, it happened. Praise God. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month. This is verse 19. And then camped in Gilgal. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Gilgal? That sounds pretty good to me. if you got a different pronunciation, talk to me after. In the east border of Jericho, and those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. Look at the promises said before in Exodus 6:6-8. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which brings you out of under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you unto a land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and I will give it to you for an inheritance. I am the Lord. Whew. What a promise. That's the promise we're talking about right now. That moment when they stepped out of the River Jordan, it was promise fulfilled. You are here. You've made it into the land that God promised to bring you to. You've made it to the promised land. If there is anyone more trustworthy than God himself, I am sorry you are confused, right? This is something that the Bible tells me every single time I read it. Hey, you made a promise, then you fulfilled it. I can trust that. I can trust God. I can trust that he's consistent, that he cares, that he loves, that he's faithful. Praise God for that. God's promises are the most dependable, most trustworthy, most faithful thing you can cling to. From Exodus up to Joshua, we can see this promise come true. And I'm so thankful that you can do that. We can sit and we can read our Bible page to page to page to page and see the promises of God that he promised right at the start come true. And how he uses people. And how he promised to use people. And how he promised to free people. And at the point the Israelites stepped up out of the Jordan River, they were brought into the land that God had promised them. It doesn't mean it was going to be easy. It doesn't mean that, hey, you made it. Unicorns and fluffy bunnies and rainbows everywhere. Woohoo! No. But what it meant was the promise of God came true. That it still happened. We can read. We can continue reading. There's a couple of wars. There's a lot of battles. There's a lot of struggle that happens in the next couple of verses and chapters. It's not easy. But God's promise is good. That's the point in this. That's what we should be clinging to. God's promise does not mean that there won't be challenges that come with that. That's what the Bible says. You follow Jesus, it's not going to be easy. If anything, we can see that following God brings trials that sharpen us that teach us, that bring out qualities that only God can bring out. So here's the map here. We can see the journey of the Israelites crossing the river, Jordan River, and we can see Gilgal, boom, right there, big arrow. Roughly 1 mile northeast of ancient Jericho, as it says, this is roughly where Joshua settled. The encampment kind of took place, roughly. I haven't been there. I can't tell you exactly. But this is what the internet says. It was here where the stones were placed again. And we can read in verses 6 to 9 about Joshua setting up 12 stones where the priests stood, where they held the ark. And the reason why, what is the purpose of these stones that were set up and set up again? Well, when your children ask these questions, you can answer them by saying, the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and the stone shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. It is not just for now, it's for the future, right? It's for the next generation, next group of people, the next people that pass by and see these stones, they will know why they're here, because the message is there. God's promises come true. This message is for the whole world. Think about that. Verse 21, and he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what means these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. I think this is an amazing thing. When you think, oh, I think that part got cut off there. It says, how do you remember? How do you remember? Right? The first point, how do you remember? We don't remember things naturally. Life happens, parenthood happens, marriage happens. We go to work, the calendar fills up. Our minds get crowded with all of life's demands. You fill in the blank, we forget things. Ask me to remember all of my brother's birthdays? No, it's not going to happen. There are a lot of other dates in my mind. Doesn't mean I don't love him, it just means there are other dates in my mind that have pushed those out. But I'm not trying to make you feel bad about forgetting things this morning. We all do it. But rather to encourage you. Because actually, looking back teaches us how we ought to move forward. Looking back helps us change our attitudes towards things. We look back to remember what not to do, right? I don't want to do that again because it got me in a lot of trouble. I don't want to do this again because actually, bad area. What not to do, what to do. We look back to remember what to do again. Hey, I want to repeat that because that was awesome. I want to repeat that because actually that was a huge blessing. I want to repeat that because fruit came from that situation. Who to trust? Who not to trust? We look back, and when we look back, we gain a heart of wisdom because actually we're looking back to get knowledge about what's already happened. I kind of wish I could look back and remember a lot of things for when we go forward, because actually I would have played out things a lot differently. But this isn't about time travel. This is about using the experiences that have already happened and remembering them so they can apply to our lives as we go forward. A couple of examples for you. How will a guy from England, me, marry an American, Rachel, when the countries make it so hard for us to be together? Well, it was really difficult. Honestly, really difficult. And at the time, it felt almost impossible. But when I look down at my wedding ring, I'm reminded that we got married. It happened, right? The wedding day actually was a thing. It did happen. We're still married. we are still. I'm still committed to Rachel. And it was all because of Jesus, right? But sometimes I forget how hard it was. Sometimes I forget the process. Sometimes I forget the struggle. I forget how hard it was when I just wanted to be married to Rachel, but the whole world seemed to be against us. When I remember that time and how challenging it was, I'm filled with gratitude because God was so faithful, so gracious. Through all of the trials and challenges, God has been so faithful to us. He has never left us. Repetition of one of his promises again, right? How will we ever be able to afford an immigration lawyer and all the flights and all the things that come with an international move for a family of four? We couldn't. I didn't make enough money as a youth pastor in England. That's not a career. It's like a job you take in between careers, right? But because of Jesus, we did. He lined up all the people, all the places, all the things, and he did it. Sometimes, because I've lived in America now for like 4.5 years, life gets busy and ministry happens and kids and so on, I forget that we're even worried about these things, right? I forgot the steps that we took to even get to this point. Yet here we are. We made it. We got on the plane and God took what felt impossible and made it possible. Times like these reminds me of how trustworthy our Father is, how wonderful he is. It reminds me that I can trust him with the big things now, because I sent my family before me on a plane and he reunited me. And I can trust him with the small things, like, hey God, I just want to work in the church. I just want to serve you. And he puts me in a family church like this. I say small things, but it's a big thing, you know. But the big things, the small things, all the things, because he's never, ever failed in the past. And he won't fail. We can trust him for that. Psalm 115:1, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and thy truth's sake. It is nothing to do with who I am. All these things happened and it was nothing to do with me. Nothing to do with what I've done, how hard I've prayed, how long I've been on my knees praying and urging God, how much I've read my Bible. Well, God, last year I read my Bible cover to cover, so you've got to give me something, right? No. He doesn't have to. But it is everything to do with God and his character, his unconditional love, his faithfulness, his forgiveness, his plan, his mercy, his grace, grace upon grace upon grace. And we could keep saying that because it's just true, right? Nothing to do with us. And this is the tough part about this kind of sermon, this kind of talk, because a lot of people can turn around and say, hey, you're saying that if you follow Jesus, everything good's going to happen. It's going to be great. It's going to be easy. And it's like, this is not a prosperity message. This is not a prosperity gospel message where I'm saying, hey, give some money to God and he'll heal you, or come to church and everything will be fine and dandy. No, no, it will be tough. Following Jesus is not a walk in the park, but it is worth it. I'm saying a lot of English phrases. I'm sorry. If any of these stand out and you don't understand, find me after. I can explain them. Dandy. Do you guys use that here? You do? Okay. Never heard anyone say fine and dandy here. There you go. I don't know. But I'm telling you, there are just a few of the times in my life where I can look back and say, man, it was hard. And it felt impossible and hopeless in my own strength. But because of Jesus, because he hung on an old rugged cross for my sins and rose again 3 days later, defeating sin, Satan, and death, that I can find comfort and peace and hope that can only be found in our wonderful counselor, our everlasting Father, our Prince of Peace, our mighty God. Because hope, because he was with me. He was with Rachel and the boys. He was with Rachel and me on our wedding day. He did it all. And he hasn't deserted us. He's still with us. Still being ever so faithful again and again and again and again. Our God keeps his promises. All of them. I think that's just a key thing right now. If you don't write down any other notes, just write that down. Underline it like 10 times because it's so true. Brothers and sisters, following Jesus is so, so worth it. And you don't have to walk alone. We need to remember what God has done in our life. It's life-giving habit. When we remember, we can better express gratitude. We can trust more easily in our Father's leading, in his plan. We can eagerly expect God to show up and be faithful, right? Because we remember his faithfulness and his nearness, right? In all the other times and all the past when you've gone through the struggles, God being near. It's who he is. He is not a distant God. Hebrews 13:8 says this, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. God is, has, and always will be faithful. God is, has, and always will be gracious. You can say this about any of his characteristics, right? I'm not going to do that because that would take a long time and it would be a lot of repetition. But the point is, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We sing this hymn quite often. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. What a hymn about God's promises, about his faithfulness, about how great that is. So we have to remember, right? These stones were a reminder so that when people asked, hey, what happened that day? When you guys came out of the river, what happened? What was this all about? These stones were to remind the generations to come of God's goodness and faithfulness. To remind them that God's promises come true. That God can be trusted. And if he did this for their fathers and grandparents, then he could be faithful for them too. It's a generational thing. The rocks mentioned in Joshua 4, verses 4 to 7, which Elder Don already mentioned, are a great reminder to the people of Israel of what God has just done for them. And we will revisit this later, but it's so important that when we read why God asked them to set up these stones of remembrance in the first place, it says this, when your children ask, verse 6, when your children ask their fathers, what are these stones for? You can answer. Right? When they ask the question, what is this about? You have an answer. And I think that's so important. That's so amazing that God just says, hey, it's so when they ask, because they're gonna, you have an answer, right? I believe that this verse six gives me so much hope and it stirs me up and it gets me energetic and about my kids. About my children, that actually when they ask these questions about God, I have answers because of his message, right? When they have questions, I can turn to the Bible and say, I've got an answer for that. And I'm so grateful. But what it says to me is, my main responsibility, mine and Rachel's, is to teach our children about the Lord. So that when they come asking these questions, why do you read the Bible? Why do we go to church? Who is God? Well, God the Father has equipped us to answer those questions. He's equipped us, and it's not difficult. Simply sharing with him the testimony of what he has done for us through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And here's the bigger hope. Parents, grandparents, foster parents, people around children, anyone who knows a child, anyone who knows anyone younger than them, you know, children of God, we all have an opportunity to answer those questions for young people around us. If you have a young person around you, there is an opportunity for you to tell them who God is and what he's done in your life and why you follow him. And that's an amazing, amazing opportunity that God has given us. Privilege that God has given us. Now, this is a side note, but it was something that stood out to me as a huge encouragement. We homeschool, so it's kind of one of those things of like, Rachel is an amazing teacher to our boys. I have every confidence in her to do an incredible job. I trust her, and she's doing an amazing job. This isn't a review. This is, you know, this is more of a, God has given us the opportunity to do this, but with everyone else as well, you also have that opportunity to teach and to show the young people around us how good God is because of what he has done. These stones are there to remind us of that, to tell the generations that come up after, the children and the children after that, and the more children after that who come up and see the stones, and they can turn around and say, well, on this day, God brought us through this river, and it dried up, and the Ark of Covenant came through, and we came to the Promised Land. What a reminder. What a moment to think about. We are currently going through a global pandemic, and I wonder, what will we tell our kids and our grandchildren and so on when we talk about the coronavirus pandemic? Will we talk about the president, the vaccine, mask wearing, toilet paper hoarding, maybe, I don't know, and so on? Or will we talk about what God did, right? Are we going to focus on one side, or are we going to focus on what God has done? God's faithfulness, the people we know who came to know Jesus, you know, all the extra stuff that comes with that. Verse 23, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. Verse 24, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord that is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. That says God does incredible things, right? That's what it does, so you can trust me. I've got it on the notes. God does incredible things. Things that we cannot comprehend. Things that we do not understand. Things that are over, over us, basically. He does incredible things. And just as God did with the Red Sea, he did the same with this water also. Remember that? God dried up the water so that you could pass through. Just like when God did it with Moses, he did it again. But it's not just for the Israelites. This message isn't just for the Israelites that were there, okay? That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord. God's message isn't just for you to hold on to for yourself. It is for the whole world, so that they might know the mighty hand of the Lord. The mighty hand of the Lord, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. I don't know about you, but nothing fills me with more comfort than when I'm being told to fear something, right? But I've told this story before. But when we go to the zoo, I like to go check out all the animals that are super powerful. I'll go and check out the silverback gorilla, stare at it and think, how long would I last? And I go and check out the lion and be like, not a chance, you know? And I go and see the things that are powerful and most intimidating because there's a respect there. I generally like these animals because I know that that's how God's formed them, and they could just crush me like whatever, you know, like a twig, snap me like that. And that's how God's made him. There's a respect there, but there's a fear there as well. There is a respectful fear because God is just and gracious and mighty, but is also the judge. There should be a respectful fear. He is mighty. The stones are for the whole world to know, not just the Israelites, not just Christians, but the whole world. God wants the whole world to know that they should know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, and that you might fear the Lord your God forever. Why? Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? Wisdom that teaches us that God is God, and that when he moves mightily. And God wants us to be a part of this taking of the gospel to the world. Mighty God wants us to be part of his plan. What a privilege. What a privilege. This is not our message to keep inside these nicely painted, warm building we call church, but in fact, the message is to go out. It doesn't stay here. It is meant to go out. The stones are a reminder for us, but a teaching point for our children and a gospel point for the world to look at. Our God is mighty and faithful and trustworthy. And you can trust him. In this time of pandemic, it is easy to focus on the bad. But God is mighty in the bad times. He is mighty in the good times. He is mighty all the time. So, let's focus on these stones. The stones to help us remember what God has done for the Israelites. The stones that are meant to be a continual reminder of what God has done before and in our lives. The stones that are not just to remind the people who are alive now, but for future generations. The stones that remind us that God's message for the world is timeless. And it needs to go forward. So what has God done in the last year? What moments in your life need to be remembered? Which moments need to have a landmark that point back to God? In the start of Joshua chapter 4, we can read that Joshua chooses 12 men to go and pick up these stones. 12 men for 12 stones. One person per stone. These weren't pebbles. These weren't tiny little things. He says to put them on your shoulder. I don't know about you, but when I'm carrying something heavy, it goes up there. It doesn't go here, because then it'll squash my toes. But it will go up on my shoulder. 12 stones. They were significant. They weren't pebbles. And this is a stretch, but consider this. 12 stones, 12 men, 12 months of the year. Try and think of one thing from every month of the last year that God has done in your life. Rewind 12 months and think, January last year, what did God do? February last year, what did God do? You get what I'm saying. And what pile of stones are you going to build to remind yourself of what God has done? Maybe it was a big moment. Maybe it was tiny. Something obvious or something really, really subtle. But please take the time to go back and set up these stones of remembrance. So that when you have them, when you need to go back, you'll see them, right? You'll see them. When things feel hopeless or 2021 isn't going the way that you hoped, you can see them. When life feels too heavy and you just can't remember the faithfulness or nearness of God, you can see them. I like to write it down. I like to write down all the things that God's done. Otherwise, I forget. But whatever it is, to generally help you remember, I'd encourage you to take time to do it. No judgment if it's a, hey Siri, remind me next year, next January the 1st, that God did this. No judgment. But remember what God has done. Remember what he's done. Hey Google, remind me of God's faithfulness on Tuesdays. You know, whatever. You get the idea. Tell people of these things. This message, I keep saying it, but I'm going to keep saying it. This message is not to keep to yourself, right? It's great to get these reminders. It's great to be able to look back and say, well, I remember when. But actually, they are there to be a signpost for other people as well. Of God's goodness, his faithfulness, of when God was near you, that you can turn around and say, hey, I've got this amazing moment. I want to tell you about it. This message has to go out. This message is to glorify the Lord and all that he has done in our lives. We are so blessed to have God the Father in our lives, we forget that we are meant to be sharing him with others. And that can be really, really tricky. God, I'm so thankful you're so close to me. I don't want to risk losing that if I go and talk to someone else. Are you going to leave? Well, no, he's not. No, he's not. But there is that fear. I understand that fear. I'm in a cool spot right now. I don't want to leave. I don't want to leave God or ask God to go to someone else. He might go and I might not be able to be in that comfortable spot anymore. Well, that's not how God works, right? He's consistent. So my question to you today is, how are you being reminded of the great things God has done? And how is it charging you up to go out and take that message out? Because the thing is, it's not meant to be a, hey, yeah, I remember actually God did this really cool thing. Like when God moves, it is mighty. It is amazing. It is from God. This should charge us up. This should energize us of, wow, God did this incredible thing and I need to tell someone about it. And how is it working in you to teach your children about how good God is? Or your family? Or your friends? How is the way that God's moving and worked in the last year, how is that helping you talk to them about him? Because that message, the message of a good father who loves us so much that he sent his son to the cross to take all sin so that we can have salvation through him, not by works, not by finances, not by the amount of books read or the amount of time spent doing whatever, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we are saved. That message is not just for us. That message has to go out. So let these memory stones in your life stand firm and not forgotten. Share the gospel message. Tell the testimonies of what God has done so that people may know of our good Father, our mighty God who saves. And I know what I want to see when I'm old and gray-haired. I want to see Army and Kyrie's memory stones. I want to see what they've put down in their life of how God has moved in their lives. I want to see their reminders of how good God is. I want to see them sharing the message of a king who came down so that we can have salvation through him. I want to see that. And if you're here today and you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then please, I urge you to start setting up those reminders, because it is so easy to forget. It really is. Those memory stones to stand and remind you of how good God is, because we will forget if we don't. We will forget. But if you're here today and you haven't put your faith in Jesus Christ, then please grab someone near you now, because we want you to know that heaven is your home. And today could be the first day that you build your first memory stone in your life of how good God is and what he's done here today. March 25th, 2004 was the day that I got baptized. That was the day I decided to fully surrender to Jesus. No matter what that looked like or where he took me, that was my first memory stone. July 19th, 1995, little 4-year-old Rachel put her faith in Jesus Christ. That was her memory stone. February 10th, 2017, my son Army started trusting Jesus as his Savior. March 7th, 2019, my youngest, Kyrie, started trusting Jesus as his Savior. These stones matter, right? These stones stand firm so all can see. They are significant. They help us to practically walk with Jesus when it's really good, but also when it's really hard. God can be trusted. Let's remember what he's done and give him all the glory due to his name. So what are the 12 remembrance stones in your life? What's something that God has done that you're really grateful for? If you can't think of anything from this past year, I'd encourage you to journey to Calvary. I'd encourage you to look at that old rugged cross, to the undeserved forgiveness that we have received, and to remember, or to know maybe for the very first time, that you have a Savior that died for you because he loves you, because he wanted to be close to you. And there is an empty tomb in Jerusalem that you can go and see, because he's alive and is victorious. He has defeated sin, Satan, and death. That is more than 12 remembrance stones. Okay. That's what Jesus has done for me, a sinner condemned, unclean. What has he done for you? Let's take a few moments and do some business with God. And then I believe Elder Don will come up and pray. But take some time here. And Sister Nancy, would you come up and play for us? That'd be fantastic. Think about those remembrance stones. Think about what God has done. Think about what they can remind you of and what the future looks like.